Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Today's Bible reading comes from the book of Proverbs. We're reading from chapter 12. An evil man is trapped by his sinful talk, but a righteous man escapes trouble. From the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things, as surely as the work of his hands rewarded him. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. A fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. A truthful witness gives honest testimony, but a false witness tells lies. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. There is deceit in the hearts of those who plot evil, but joy for those who promote peace. No harm befalls the righteous, but the wicked have their fill of trouble. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. A prudent man keeps his knowledge to himself, but the heart of fools blurts out folly. Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labour. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up.
Great. Some of you might know this already, but quite a few years ago I was the manager of our family business. Actually, I was co-manager with my older brother, which basically means I just did what he told me to do. So it was just sort of the token title, really, for me, as I would sweep the floors. Anyway, one particular time, we were looking at getting some new signs for our business, and we were after four or five big banners, probably stretching 4 or 5 metres long and maybe 1.5 or 2 metres deep. And so we were looking for the best price, and we knew of a particular guy who was advertising quite cheaply and said he had a good product. And so this guy came along to us in Geelong, and we sat down and had a coffee with him, and he showed us his product, which looked very good, and he told us his price, and that looked even better. And so we decided that we would go ahead with this. One of the things was that he would leave one of his banners with us, and we would pay him, give him $500, and he would then bring the finished product back to us in 2 weeks' time. Well, after a few days, and actually 2 weeks had passed, no sign of the banners. A couple more days after these 2 weeks had gone past, still no sign. We started to get a little bit anxious, Andy and I, my brother and I. We thought maybe we'd been lied to here, maybe we had been deceived. So I got on the phone and tried to call him again, no answer. By this time, about another week had gone by, and by this time we were really starting to be anxious. We thought we've definitely been lied to. So I rang up, and on one particular day I got his mother. Now this guy was 60, so his mother must have been well into her 80s. And he said, poor little whatever his name was, he's sick. He'll have your product to you in 2 weeks' time. Well, at that time, Andrew and I were both convinced that we'd been lied to about this. It personally got to the core of who I was at that time. I really hated being lied to. I detested being lied to, and God actually detests being lied to as well. We've seen in this reading today that the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. Seldom does the Bible teach such a straightforward message and use such strong language to describe our sin and how much he detests it. God detests lying. To detest is to dislike something a lot, and that's definitely what God thinks about lying. He hates it. Actually, it makes his stomach churn. He hates being lied to, and he hates lies. The Ten Commandments include a prohibition against giving a false witness against your neighbour. In other words, don't lie. Don't distort the truth. don't use your words to play around with reality. Now, I'm sure every one of us sitting here today has been lied to at one time or another, either by your kids, they're pretty good at it, or a work colleague or a friend, a partner has lied to you. And I'm sure you can remember how that makes you feel. It upsets us in many different ways. We can be angry, we can be sad, we can be frustrated. And the reassuring news that we have is that God wholeheartedly supports this frustration that we feel. You see, God is truth. God is truth. And everything that aligns with Him is truth. And everything that doesn't align with Him is a lie. And so when we lie, it causes a dislocation between our loving Father and us. It's like any other sin. It causes a dislocation between a loving Father and us. It stands between us. And God also detests lying, not only because it doesn't align with His truth, but it's also a horizontal thing as well. It damages us, and as it damages other people. It invites ruin. The mouth of a fool invites ruin. Lies cause people great hurt. We have an innate or a God sense in us that yearns for the truth. We want to be people of truth. We want to have the truth spoken to us. We don't want to be lied to. Speaking of lies, we've recently had an election, and many people, but maybe even including Tony Abbott up there, waiting to see if the promises that have been made by the government and other people are actually going to be fulfilled, or are we going to be lied to? Have we been lied to? My point is, we want to be told the truth. We don't want to be lied to, and it hurts us and it causes us damage to our relationships when we are. But have I lied recently? Have you lied recently? A truthful witness gives honest testimony, but a false witness tells lies. I know I've lied recently, actually. You know, some of the little ones that don't do any damage. Well, we'll have lunch sometime. Sure. Or I'll pay you back. Yeah, right. Or can I have a minute of your time? Just a minute. Okay, right, sure. Or what about this one? This is the perfect, this is the beauty that we all do at church. I'll be praying for you. I know there's been times when I've said that and haven't followed through on that so-called truth. Do you ever exaggerate the truth? Describe like a personal accomplishment and make yourself sound a little better? Or do you ever maybe even twist the truth to make someone look really bad or make someone look really good? Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. And I remember one particular time when my lying tongue lasted only a moment. I was in year 8 at school, and there was a large group of us playing basketball on the basketball court. And one of my best mates and I, we played a lot of basketball together, and we actually got quite competitive at times. And at the end of the game, we ended up having an argument about some particular basketballers. And anyway, we ended up throwing some punches at each other, and I clocked him in the back of the head with the old swing like that. And anyway, after the adrenaline had worn off and we'd hugged each other and said we'd loved each other, I was in class, and I looked down at my hand and it was all swollen and I couldn't move my thumb. So I thought, I'd better go to the nurse here. So I went to the nurse and she said, oh, it looks like you've broken your thumb in my knuckle down here just before my wrist. One of the doctors will tell you what that is. I've got no idea, but it's a bone. And the nurse actually said, look, how did you do that? And I said, I was playing basketball and I fell down on my hand, and I broke my hand when I fell on the ground. She said, oh, really? Okay, well, we better get your mum to come and pick you up and you need to have an x-ray. And I said, oh, okay. So my mum came and she said, how did you do that? And so I was playing basketball and fell down on the ground and landed on my hand and broke my knuckle. I broke my hand. I think that's how I've done it. By this time, when I'd been speaking to my mum, I had this feeling of uneasiness. You know, the feeling of when you're lying and your stomach starts to get a bit of a... It feels like there's a knot in it. And you're going, oh, gee, how am I going to... Well, I'll just have to keep lying to get out of this one. It's a messy business, lying. And I was lying because I thought it was a way to escape the consequences of my dad's... Not my heavenly dad, my father here, my own dad's wrath, really, and also my mum's, but really it was my dad's that I was worried about. You see, an evil man is trapped by his sinful talk. I felt trapped. I was getting pushed into a corner, painted into a corner. And the reason why this is so messy, the reason why it's so messy to be telling lies is because we are created in the image of a truth-telling God. And we are not made to lie. We're actually not made to lie. But it's not normal for us to lie, but we all do it. You see, a lie can be made in one of two ways. Firstly, it misrepresents the past. So you lie about what's gone on in the past. So the person who you're speaking to acts on false knowledge. So we lie about the past. I had lied to my mum about the past, although it only happened a few hours before. I had lied to her. And after I had lied to her, I went to the doctor. And the doctor said, "A young boy, how did you do this?" And I said, "I was playing basketball and I fell down and landed on the ground." And this doctor stared straight into my eye and said, "Young boy, there is absolutely no way you could break that particular bone in that way doing what you did. What did you really do?" Mum just looked at me. The truth was about to come out. There was no way of escaping this and the consequences. And in a flood of tears, you know that crying as a kid? Like that sort of one. "Mum, I punched Gowling in the head." Well, I picked up rubbish for about a week, I think, and had a plaster on my hand for 8 weeks, I think, or something like that. But so often we hide the truth, don't we? Just like I did, because of the past, and we're scared of the consequences of it. And often we lie about the past either to ourselves or other people because of the shame of it as well. Often we're ashamed of what we've done. I know I'm ashamed of many things that I've done in the past. And that's why Adam and Eve were also so ashamed. They couldn't, and that's why they lied to God, because they were so ashamed. They couldn't actually talk to him, so they lied. It started way back then, and we've just picked up the baton and we continue to do it, lie about the past. And that's because we can't handle shame. Actually, a good plug for the Free in Christ seminars. I think there's a really good DVD on shame, which affects all of us. Another way of lying is misrepresenting the future. So a deceptive promise. So not just the past, but the future. So the person that we've lied to depends on, like, he acts on an agreed promise which actually never materialises. And this is what happened to me and my brother when we were with the banners and we were looking to buy these banners. We were ready, we'd paid the money, we'd budgeted for it, we had the signs up ready to go, we'd cleaned up, it was all, and I was excited about it. But it didn't eventuate. Lies break relationships. Yesterday I took a wedding up at the Yarra Valley. It was a lovely wedding, although it was very cold and we sort of got it in between all the rain and everything. But these two people made some pretty full-on promises to each other. But these promises we know are so easily broken, aren't they? When lies begin to creep into our relationships with one another, with our partners. And often it starts with just a little one, just little lies, those ones that don't do any harm. Truth-telling is critical for all relationships. If you are consistently lying to your partner about things that you're ashamed of, if there are lies that are hindering your relationship with God and your partner, God says you need to stop it. It needs to stop. And we're warned in our readings from Proverbs that God detests it, and he also detests it because it leads to so much destruction for ourselves. Often telling the truth can be really difficult. We like being people of peace, don't we? We don't speak the truth, so peace will be the outcome. Most of us are what I call tranquility junkies. Often we can't handle the truth.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Well, fairly famous line. So often we can't handle the truth. We are called as Christians to be wise with our words and often called to speak less and listen more. But there's many times in our lives when a word of truth is demanded to be spoken. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for a lack of judgment. And also, a wise person or a wise man listens to advice. See, truth needs to be spoken often into people's lives. And if it's done wisely, then it will bring healing to that person. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Often people walk along in the dark, and we don't do anything to nourish or bring healing to that person to try and help them, because we are concerned for peace. Or are we? Is that what we're really concerned for? I believe that often we don't speak the truth because it affects us. I knew a friend of mine who used to brag about how many sexual partners he had. And I really liked this guy. I didn't want to cause any friction between me and him in our friendship. And so I would laugh along with his so-called conquests. Deep down, I knew that was wrong. Deep down in my heart, I knew that was wrong. But I would rather laugh with him and have a joke with him instead of speaking the truth into his life. What's the matter with me? Why would I do that? I shrink back from telling the truth because it might cost me something. It might change my relationship with that person. I've had plenty of times when I've not mentioned I'm a Christian because I was so scared that if I did, it might change the relationship with this person who I've known for so long. But truth, when you're speaking the truth, it needs to be spoken in love. This is critical. In Ephesians, Paul says to speak the truth in love in Ephesians 4. If you don't speak the truth in love, it can be really deadly stuff. Those who go around speaking the truth without love actually are just brutalising people. But then there are also those people who just gush kindness and love and grace but never couple their tender words with any truth at all. Just have a look at this slide for a minute. This is supposed to be yellow. If Are you one of those people who are, prefers to be on the love side? Do you pride yourself on having a reputation for always offering a word of encouragement and of grace and of love to a person? But do you shrink back from this, from telling the truth? Or are you a sharp-edged person who prides yourself on living here in this blue zone? Are you fearless when it comes to slapping people with the truth? Do you enjoy fixing people but forget about showing any love and grace? See, the idea, of course, is here, to live in this green part. That's the wise area. Now, this is not easy, but it's worth pursuing. We actually can't do it by ourselves. We can be as nice and have as good morals as we like, but we'll always fall into here or into here. And we can only be here with the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. The Holy Spirit encourages us, convicts us, and leads us in here into the, I call it the green zone. Often as a minister, I'm challenged to speak this truth into many lives. And Jesus says this: if you hold to my teaching, it's a big call, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus also says these words in John as well: I am the way, you've heard this many times, and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you want to know deep spiritual truth, if you really want to know the truth, if you want to live a life that's fully fulfilling, well, you can't live a lie. You need to know the truth. And Jesus proclaims that he is the truth. And he says, you need to know me and follow me and believe me to live in that truth. The greatest truth is Jesus. And as we've seen in our readings today from Proverbs, it sees truth telling as a must. It's a must for wise living. We never got the money back from the guy, $500 down the drain when it came to getting our money for the signs. Actually, a few other shops in Geelong were ripped off that week as well. They were trying to get him on a current affair or something. We just went, no, don't worry about it. But as followers of Jesus, we are called to live lives of truth. Not just you have to do them because it's a rule. We do them because we love him. We love him. And he calls each of us to live in his truth, the truth that will set us free. Jesus hung on the cross so we can live in his truth. And the greatest truth we can know is knowing our Creator and knowing that he made us and loves us. That's a great thing. And Jesus said these two things. He said, love God with all your heart and mind and soul and with all your strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. It's both loving the truth of God and who he is, but also showing that truth in love to your neighbour. It's both. God's right in the middle of that green zone that I showed before. If you look inside for the truth, which we've often told, you'll find the truth inside. You'll never find it because you didn't make yourself. You need to look outside of yourself to know who you are. You need to search for the Creator, for the Maker. To seek real truth is to know God, and by knowing God you begin a life of truth-telling. When you know him, because he convicts you and encourages you to tell the truth. Some of us might need to confess some lies which are deep down that only you and God know about. Maybe some practices of at work. The way that you speak to your partner or your children. Jesus took on these lies. This is the great thing. He says, follow me, be free in me, confess these things and be forgiven. Jesus took on these lies, that sin on the cross. That's what he did. He took them on. And when he hung on that cross for you, so you can know his truth about his love for you and his grace for you. I'm just going to lead us in a short prayer now as I finish, where some of you may want to confess in your heart some lies that you may have told this week, maybe some lies that you've never confessed. And I'll give you an opportunity to pray them now. And if you wanted to speak with someone about them, I'm more than happy in a completely confidential role to speak to you about it, or Rod, our senior minister here, or even the people who will be praying at the end of the service. Let's now examine our hearts, and I'm sure Rod will do this when we lead through communion as well, but we'll pray as well now. Dear Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. Dear Lord, I pray now if there's anyone here who needs to confess some lies, that they will come to you in confidence, knowing that you forgive them and you love them. Lord, we ask that the people who are doing that now, at this very minute, will feel your love and your peace and your freedom that you promise for all of those who turn to you in repentance and faith. So, Lord, please heal and bring people into your kingdom. We pray it in your name. Amen.